Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Warp!
Brad, you leave for Disney next week, huh?
That's right. In 5 days. 5 days now.
Golly.
5 days from when we're recording, either one day or I've already left from when you guys are listening to this. So, yes, it is coming up quickly. And, hey, at 7 days, I actually did start counting. So
hey, good for you.
I didn't wait forever. I just waited till it's a manageable time. Because if I start counting a year out, that's just going to drive me up a wall. And plus, with this one, I didn't know a year out.
Right.
But so here's speaking of that, here's something funny.
Yep.
There have been plenty of these trips where I have known a year out, 6 months out, and I start making my dining reservations as soon as the dining reservation window opens, and I start making my fast pass as soon as the fast pass reservations open, and there's still, especially with dining, there are just some things that I can't get, right?
Right.
But the other day, I am sitting there on the app, just randomly checking things, and I managed to score a dinner reservation at Be Our Guest.
Nice.
But if I would have tried that 60 days out or whatever, or what, I forget what the number is now. If I would have tried that when it opened, I probably would have missed out on it, and yet just randomly looking. So now I've been randomly looking, seeing if I can one-up myself and score Cinderella's Royal Table. I don't think that's going to happen. But
yeah, that one's probably less likely. You got lucky with a cancellation.
Yeah. Oh, that's absolutely what happened. But one way or another, I will now get an opportunity to try Be Our Guest finally at dinner when it is a table service restaurant, and we will see if that does not finally change my overall opinion of that restaurant. And
they've got one more meal to do right by you.
Yeah, and I'm going into this with high hopes. I'm not going to go in there thinking I'm going to hate this and let me go spend this ridiculous amount of money. No, I'm going into it thinking it could definitely work as a table service in a way that it just doesn't work for me as a counter service. So I'm really hoping to get an opportunity to really, really like that restaurant. But all that I know right now is I am going to be so poor when this trip is over, because with Nancy, so for those of you who haven't been around for more than a month or so, because I feel like we talk about dining and stuff so regularly, and this, my wife has food allergies, and so she's allergic to corn, eggs, and peanuts. And if you're allergic to corn, you're basically allergic to everything in the United States that is pre-processed. Fortunately, Disney is one of the few places that can actually work with those allergies, though. And while doing allergies is doable at a counter service restaurant, it is much easier to do at a table service restaurant. At a counter service, they send out a manager and they give you this, they bring out this book. And it's got everything that they use to make every... So, you know, you start by saying, I'm thinking about a cheeseburger. And so then you look at, okay, here is the bun that we use on the cheeseburger. And, you know, it's basically a photocopy of the ingredient list for that bun. And here is the cheese that we use on the cheeseburger. And here is the... And here are the, you know, toppings that we use on that. And here's the photocopy of that. And if you don't like the bun, well, here are some alternative buns that we have back here. But it's kind of all on you to make it work. Whereas if you go to table service, you know, you tell them that you have an allergy and a chef is going to show up at your table saying, and what drives Nancy crazy to some extent is they always show up and go, so what are you thinking about tonight? And she's like, I don't know. Just tell me what I can. Well, I can probably make anything work for you. So what would make you, what do you want to eat tonight? And that level of decision, that level of choice usually isn't open to her. But what this all means is when we're planning this vacation, Nancy's like, well, what about this? And what about this? So what has happened is we have pretty much booked table service for lunch and dinner every day that we're there. I think one day right now, maybe the first day of the new fireworks, so May 12th, we actually are going to end up doing counter service for dinner because we just don't have a reservation. And everything is at like 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe as late as 5, or it's going to be at like 8:30, and I'm not missing the fireworks because I'm sitting down eating somewhere.
Right.
And I'm not eating at 5 o'clock when I just had lunch at, 12:30 or whatever it is. But every other thing is full of a table service meal. So needless to say, I have been headed to Kroger quite regularly buying up Disney gift cards. just a little one here, a little one there, so that way I don't get the entirety of the sticker shock all at one time. But kind of adding it up. And Disney has this, for those of you who don't know, DisneyGiftCard.com actually allows you to take your gift cards, and you can take multiple gift cards, add them all into one gift card, so you transfer the you can transfer all the balances up to I think it says it maxes out at $1,000 per gift card. But yeah, so if you want to save up money for your Disney trip, every time you go to the grocery store, buy like a $20 gift card, but instead of having to carry 30 gift cards with you to Walt Disney World, you can go to this website and you can transfer them all onto a single gift card, and then you can use that single gift card or two gift or whatever you need to take with you instead of having to take multiple gift cards. So that's what we've been doing, is we've been buying, a gift card here, a gift card there as we can, so that we'll actually be able to fund this insanity that is table service all the time.
Is that a Disney thing?
Yes,
or
yeah,
is that
yeah.
like a third party thing?
No. Well, so I think it is third party. And the only reason that I say that is because, so you know how you like your go.com account, which is Disney owns go.com. So it's actually disneyworld.disney.go.com, and ESPN is go.com, and Disney Movie Rewards is go.com, and Disney Movies Anywhere, and all of those share like a single account, right?
Right.
If you go to the DisneyGiftCard.com, you will have to set up a different account. So that makes me think maybe it is third party, but it's all themed just like Disney's primary website is. It's definitely legit. If you go buy a Disney gift card, on the back of it, it's going to say visit DisneyGiftCard.com.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's no third party weirdness, shadiness, or anything like that. This is how Disney suggests that you manage your gift cards. So first of all, I can bunch all of my gift cards up into a single gift card, so I'm not having to carry so many around. Yeah.
That is incredible.
But also, what this means is what I'm going to do, and somebody online in one of the forums, whether it was Dub2Dub Magic or one of those forums had suggested this, and I'm definitely jumping on this. They suggested not just putting one gift card on there, but having a couple on there, having a couple of zero balance that you leave in your room. And then what you do is if you're say out in the parks and you reach down and suddenly you realize, oh crud, that's, $500 gift card is gone. Hmm. I must have left it sitting somewhere or dropped it. Just pull out your phone, visit that website, and just transfer the balance off of that gift card onto one of the zero balance ones you've got sitting back at your room.
Hmm.
Because
that makes sense.
Because otherwise that thing is, it's cash. Somebody else could just pick it up and start using it. So if you just transfer it off, well, you're going to have to go back to your room and go get a blank gift card, go get that gift card you just transferred it all to. But that way you won't lose out on your money and everything.
Yeah, you only have to lose out on like an hour instead of however much money.
Right, instead of just feeling like your trip just got totally ruined or something. Because I feel like that's what I would feel if that happened. So anyway, so that's how we are putting it together, because I've got to get my fuel points and my credit card miles and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I've got to work the system. But again, dude, I did the math, and so we're visiting for 5 days, and that's actually like 4.5 days technically. And I'm getting $800 in gift card for the two of us to go just for dining. And I'm not 100% sure that's going to fly.
Like, that's not going to be enough?
I'm, I, Well, okay, but we've got things like Le Cellier, Tiffin's, the Boathouse. Some of those get kind of high.
Yeah, man. $800 for two people.
I'm really hoping that I'm way over, you know, and then I come back with a gift. But that's the nice thing. Worst case scenario, I come back with a gift card with some money left on it that we can use for another trip or something else.
Well, and I remember one time HEB did a thing where it was like 15% off Disney gift cards. Oh, and if you can catch a deal like that. Yeah, that's, you know, $750 or $850 for a $1,000 gift card. It's crazy.
Yeah, I would have been. Well, and because I didn't just pay for, you know, we're saving up now so that we have our dining gift cards all put together. But that's what I paid off our hotel room. I made the, you know, I paid the deposit amount on my credit card, but I paid that off with a gift card again, because I was able to go purchase that and get, you know, and then I take like a dollar off when I go get gas and stuff. And it's not a lot of money, but it's something. And something I can get.
You get the same amount of credit card points or whatever from buying a gift card, sometimes more. So why not, you know, get your dollar off of gas for the next 10 years?
Oh, my I've got a reward credit card that is, and I know nobody cares about this, but I'm just telling you, I have a reward gift card that's giving me like 5 miles to the dollar right now on grocery stores, not on Disney. But if I go spend all this money at the grocery store buying these gift cards, again, so it's, yeah, it's all
that's
about turning.
That's true. My Disney rewards card gives me 2% rewards on groceries. So that's also a good thing. You know, if you buy all your gift cards at the grocery store.
But if you're not doing that, you can also go to Target and you get 5% off with your red card. Use your red card. So you have to do the math. And again, it's if you're willing to do the legwork like I am, and you enjoy doing stuff like this because you know that you saved a little bit of money, which I do. All of those things are there. But yes, I'm interested to see what our actual spend is, and I'm going to save receipts on this trip so that we can talk about, you know, how that sort of a trip compares to, because I think I looked in dining plan for our trip. Not that we can get it, because you have to do your tickets with your room in order to do that. And of course we got our undercover tourist tickets. But I think it was close to $700 for the dining plan. Mm-hmm. And that's the standard. So one quick service, one table service, two snacks and the mug. So I'm interested to see how our almost everything table service compares to that. And you know, just to see, I feel like we're going to spend more than that. But again, we're also doing a, you know, five extra table services and some signature dining instead of doing dining plan. So we'll see how that all breaks down. But yes, there is a lot of planning that has been all coming to a head here. And at this point, I'm just ready to get on a airplane, jump on Magical Express and have it drop me off so that I can stop worrying about all this stuff and just enjoy my vacation and the 4 million people that will inevitably be at Magic Kingdom. Because when does Brad choose to go? Oh, the last night of Wishes and the first night of Happily Ever After.
You're a madman.
I am. I am indeed. But I'm a madman who loves it, so I'm going to go and do it.
So there's rumors that Disneyland Paris is about to change their FastPass system up. And by change it up, I mean add for pay fast passes,
which is not unheard of, because what MaxPass launched at Disneyland in California.
So people who listen to that show will already know how I feel about for pay fast pass stuff. So basically, fast pass one will give you access to one attraction one time, and that is going to be $16 thereabout. For one FastPass. FastPass Premium, which is the upper tier, will give you unlimited FastPass access for $99. And this is on top of the about $90 ticket price at Disneyland Paris. So for FastPass Premium, you're looking at close to $200 to have unlimited FastPass access for one day. So FastPass Premium is a much better value than FastPass 1. the $16 for one attraction one time is ridiculous.
A few things here. So with this, the latest reports, and I say a lot of people have been, so like, I feel like I heard this at one place, and then I started hearing it everywhere. And I kind of wonder if this is it the echo chamber? But then I've seen official, like, where Disneyland Paris, you guys have all seen the, well, maybe you all haven't, but Disneyland Paris, Disneyland, Walt Disney World, all do the surveying stuff where they will send you surveys from time to time and say, hey, how was your visit? How would you feel if we did X? Or how would you feel if we did Y? And I feel like we covered one of those a while back talking about, you know, like a, almost like a fast pass photo pass or something.
Mm-hmm.
They've done this for all sorts of weird things. But again, this one has definitely been gaining some steam. Now, I have seen some people saying that, in fact, I think the article that we linked to in the show notes is even saying that the FastPass Premium project has been suspended, not canceled, suspended. But while they're saying that, I've seen some more recent stuff that says, no, this is still a go. So again, we are talking about rumors. But to your point about the FastPass 1, FastPass is still a thing at Disneyland Paris, and it's still going to be a thing that you can do for free, right?
Right,
it's
not paper FastPass.
Right, it's not like the only way that you can get a FastPass is by doing FastPass Premier or FastPass 1, assuming that, that these things come to pass. So that being said, if I knew that I could get, say, 3 or 4 FastPasses in a day using the normal FastPass system, but I only need 2 more FastPasses to cover all the attractions that I care about, then maybe that actually makes more sense, because then you're talking about 30 euro versus, and you're going to do dollars and I'm going to do euros, so we're going to really mess everybody up. But that's 30 euros versus 90 euros. So that's a third of the price if I only want 2 of them. But yeah, at the point, it's kind of like the single day photo pass. Single day photo pass is, what is it, $59 or $69?
Something like that.
Okay, so photo pass for your entire vacation is $150 if you buy before, $170 if you buy within the 3-day period, right?
Yeah.
So I could make the argument, if you're going to be there for 7 days, then it's a no-brainer. You need to get the photo pass for the whole time. You're crazy to only get a photo pass for a single day. But last time Nancy and I went, we made sure that we devoted 1 day to doing photo pass photos. And then we got that 1 day, and we had all the photos that we wanted inside of that 1 day, and we didn't worry about PhotoPass the rest of the time. So I think FastPass 1 still has a benefit, assuming that you want to experience the parks in that manner.
That's fair.
But now, if I'm going to start dropping money for I'm probably going to go FastPass Premium, because it is what? Pretty much just go on whenever you want.
Yeah.
For anything that's got a fast pass on it. So yeah, that's definitely how I'm gonna roll.
I mean, some restrictions do apply, but I guess for me, like in my brain, I'm either not paying for fast pass or paying for fast pass. And so if I'm gonna pay money for fast passes, for me, I might as well just get the whole kit and caboodle and just do them all, you know, quote for pay. Cause I don't know. It just, that's usually how it works. Like at Universal, or when I was at Dollywood, you know, you pay the certain amount of money and you get the little fast pass thing, and then you're just got it everywhere for the day. And so I guess to me, it just makes more sense to say, oh yeah, it costs $100 and you just have fast pass on everything.
Okay, but at the same time, let's take, and now let's recognize Walt Disney World is different, because Walt Disney World has FastPass Plus, and we can do 3 FastPasses that we can go ahead and plan out ahead of time and can do more after. You guys all know how FastPass Plus works. But look at something like Epcot, where you've got the A-B breakdown, or Disney's Animal Kingdom after Pandora opens. They're going to have a similar A-B breakdown with the 2 Pandora attractions. There's a lot of stuff to do that's fast pass at Epcot, right?
Yeah.
But once you've picked your A attraction, and then you, when you get to the B side of things, I feel like it gets a little hairy. You're like, yeah, I'm going to get this one, and who cares after this?
Yeah, Epcot especially feels like you're definitely going to pick one or two things that are filler so that the Fast Pass selection screen will release you.
Yes, yeah, which now they've made changes to that, and it's actually a lot better now because you don't think you have to pick all three anymore, which I really appreciated. But right. But yeah, so if you told me, hey, you picked Frozen Ever After, right, as your A-level Fast Pass, do you want to pay an extra $15 to pick, or $16.50 to go ahead and book Soarin' as well? Or would you like to pay 90, what did you say, 90 some odd dollars?
Yeah, 99.
For $99 for an all-day Fast Pass? I mean, at that point, would you then say, no, I think $99 is the same as $16.50. Or you see what I'm saying? I think there is a use case for both of these. And that being said, I hate both of them vehemently.
Yeah, but so you just presented it as like a microtransaction, like an in-app purchase, you know?
Do you not think, okay, so at Disneyland Paris, this will not be done that way. But right. If Walt Disney World signed on for this with all of the, with the Shop Disney Parks app, with the
Disney World would do it this way, for sure.
That is absolute. I mean, think about when you buy your hotel room now. You book your hotel room, and then on the next page it says, hey, which one of these, how many days do you want tickets for? And hey, do you want to add Park Hopper? And hey, do you want that Park Hopper to come with do you want to be able to go ahead and visit the water parks as well? And hey, how about some dining plan?
Yeah.
That's pretty much the way that that's the way it's handled. So I could totally see them going, oh, you've made all your Fast Pass selections for today. How would you like to have one or two more for only an additional?
Yeah, that is not good. That's bad. Bad, bad, bad.
No, so the idea of microtransactions or whatever, paying for FastPass. That's what I have a problem with. I don't have a problem with how you package it. I don't want to pay for FastPass.
I would want them to make it like a lot more, because if people want to pay to do this, then they should be paying a lot more, because FastPass lines are not always like walk-on lines. You know, FastPass lines sometimes are 20 or 30 minutes long.
Yeah, it's inevitably a shorter line than what your standby line is going to be. And you're going to get first. And if that FastPass line gets backed up, well, standby line, you guys better get ready for a long wait, because they're just going to start going straight FastPass until they can clear it.
Right.
But yes, it is definitely not a walk-on experience.
But on the other hand, for me, I am so against FastPass being something that you can pay for. FastPass feels like an equal opportunity for everyone. You know, everyone has a chance to get, or everyone has the same chance to get online and book their FastPasses the same amount of days in advance. It's a equal opportunity for everyone to try and get the FastPass they want. When you start to introduce for pay stuff, then it's this tiered system, like we talked about with MaxPass, where just it becomes not fair anymore. And that's what I'm against. This whole, like, if you got the money, you're going to have a better experience, or you have the ability to have a better experience than people who can't afford to have that experience. That's something that has separated, for me, Disney from other resorts and other theme parks.
Okay, so I agree with you, actually, that I don't want FastPass to become a paid thing. I like the idea of, you know, here are your three. I like the way that it works right now. I know a lot of people prefer the old paper FastPass system. I actually prefer the FastPass Plus system to even the paper FastPass system. But at the point that it becomes paid, I'm not going to be as big of a fan. And again, for mine is more like, I don't want FastPass lines to just become secondary standby lines, you know, where the FastPass line is 45 minutes and the standby line is 2 hours. It's not any longer than the FastPass line. It's just because all of those people have to wait for everybody in the standby line to get or everybody in the fast pass line to get through before the standby line can go.
Right.
So I feel like it's a right now it's a delicate ecosystem, and I'm just worried about adjusting that. Now, again, we aren't talking about Walt Disney World. Walt Disney World hasn't announced any plans
right.
to do this at this point. But I think what happens is we see something like MaxPass, we see something like FastPass Premium, and you just have to wonder how much longer is Walt Disney World going to leave all of that money sitting on the table? Because
right.
you know that if they offered it, people would pay the money for it.
Yep.
And they're not, I mean, I agree with you that I really like the idea that, you know, everybody has this opportunity for this thing, and it's not something that you're going to have to pay separately for like it is with so many other theme parks. But at the same time, Disney is in the feel-good business as much as feel-good can make their bottom line better. Because
yeah.
Disney is still a business, and
sure.
that's where I see the problem generating from, is how much longer from a business perspective can you go, well, people really want, and you know that there is a strong subsection of people. I'm not sure what the numbers are. I'm sure Disney does. There's a group of people out there that want this sort of an option where they can do this, where they can bypass the regular line and do everything fast pass. And I don't know. I think once that number reaches a certain point, it's going to be awfully tempting for them.
Well, and I was helping a friend of mine plan a trip for later this year, and he had no knowledge of Disney, doesn't care, really. He just wanted to take his wife to Disney later this year.
And then you scared the heck out of him when you're like, oh my gosh, we got to go ahead and make your dining plan reservation, we're going to make your FastPass reservation.
No, what I thought was interesting, though, is he said, is FastPass Plus worth it? And I said, yeah, I mean, it's just, that's how you book fast passes. And he said, but is it worth it? And I said, what do you mean? And he said, is it worth paying for? And I told him, like, no, FastPass Plus is included. It's just called Plus, you know, because they did upgrades and now it's all handled digitally. It used to be paper. And he said, oh, that's cool. You know, and he was really delighted by the fact that Disney includes that in your reservation and does not upcharge you for it. I hate for them to lose that, because I don't know, that was a real positive for him. And for people who are going for the first time and who don't have knowledge of that kind of stuff, it does make them, you know, feel a little bit happy that they can get, you know, FastPass access for free.
Yeah, but with FastPass Premium, FastPass is not going to, or at least the reports that I've seen, FastPass isn't going away. Again, this
right.
is in addition to. So then the question becomes, is FastPass plus
yeah.
really worth it?
Yeah.
Or, you know, FastPass Platinum. That's what I want. FastPass Platinum. Would you get like a Platinum Magic Band?
Oh gosh.
I think you need that. Or, you know, like an all, well, because they already make all black Magic Bands. Maybe like a matte black Magic Band or something. I need some way.
It might
that
as well
others
just say,
can
punch me in the face.
I want some way for others to know my status, because others need to know that I am
solid
better
gold
them.
Magic Band.
There you go. But yeah, they're not going to take it away. And
no,
I don't think most of those people are going to somehow be upset, because you're still going to like the fact that I know that I'm going to get on these three attractions at these times, and I don't have to worry about, you know, will the lines be too long for me to be able to, I know at minimum I'm going to be able to do three things on that day.
Well, maybe. I don't know. It just, if you have too many people paying for it, then something's got to give.
So does,
and that's what I worry about.
So does FastPass Platinum, or FastPass Plus Platinum? There you go. FPP. Will that be discounted if you're staying on resort? If you're staying on property?
Yeah. I don't know. I just, like, if it's affordable, then all of a sudden everyone's paying to go to FastPass everywhere all the time. And
yes.
What does that do to FastPass availability for people who don't want to pay?
So there was this episode of The Simpsons. It was a couple of weeks back now. And I forget, for some reason, Bart had had some sort of a mental issue due to something going on. And so they go to visit a theme park, and he has a front of the line pass because he's having issue or whatever. Okay. And because
he's mentally disturbed.
Yes. Yes. Because he's mentally, thank you. Because, you know, something, they were at some camp and something bad happened. And so, you know, he's finding himself upset about this. And so he has the front of the line pass, and suddenly Lisa is sitting there and something sets her off, and she was at the same camp, and she suddenly realizes she has the same problem. So she's sitting there on the ground, like, you know, muttering to herself or something like that. And one of the park employees comes by and says, "Oh, well, you get a front of the line pass too." And then suddenly Bart stops her and says, "If everyone has a front of the line pass, there is no front of the line pass."
Yep.
And that's is it.
The Incredibles. If everyone's super, no one is.
That's right. And so that would be the one concern I would have. And that's why you would have to make something like this. And that's why it is so ridiculously expensive. That's why it is more than the cost of a 1-day ticket.
Yeah.
Or, you know, why they were thinking about doing more than the cost of a 1-day ticket at Disneyland Paris, because you can't have everybody buying this. And my guess is that if it was too popular, Disney would goose the price a little bit more and goose the price a little, until they found that sweet spot where some people were buying it, but not everybody was buying it. So
standby wait, 15 minutes. Fast pass wait, 3 hours.
There you go. So again, there is nothing that says this is coming to Walt Disney World anytime soon. The rumors about Disneyland Paris, I'm not super excited for those folks at Disneyland Paris either. But again, every time that this comes up, we're going to continue to associate it with Walt Disney World, because that's what Jeremy and I really care about. We say we're about Disney parks. We're about Walt Disney World and other parks as needed. And the fact that Walt Disney World is kind of starting to become is starting to look like it's going to be the lone man standing when it comes to free Fast Pass.
Yeah.
Starts to feel a little bit concerning. So.
Yep. So next week, I really would like to try and see if we can record while you're at Disney.
That is my plan, but we'll just kind of have to play that one by ear.
So maybe we'll have an episode next Monday, maybe not. It depends on if Brad's available. We'll update Twitter and stuff.
Or I'll get home Sunday night at, I think I'm supposed to get in about midnight-ish, and we'll record at midnight, because that'll be fun for both of us. It's not like we have to be at work on Monday.
It'll be a truly one-sided conversation, my friend. I hope you can be entertaining all by yourself, because I will be asleep. But that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. Hopefully we'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.